So take this as either if you've had a poor week or not, take it as extra teaching and extra motivation to pray. So if you have your Bible and you turn into it in whatever form you have it, it's Psalm 30. One of the problems you face in the Christian life is people misusing Scripture. And people seem to have certain Scriptures that they misuse repeatedly, so that there kind of accumulates this group of verses that people misuse. If we probably started just putting together a list here, we could come up with some. Maybe you would say John 3:16, or maybe you would say, "Judge not, lest you be judged." But some of them end up being not just, you know, polemical verses, but verses that could give Christians encouragement. Things like the Jeremiah verse, "I know the plans I have for you." You don't even have to go any further. You know, like, yep, people use that one. So there are these set of verses, and it is a problem of misusing it. But the problem I have in mind that I found over the years is not so much that people misuse it, but how we react to that as a Christian in such a way that we never use it. And it's like somebody just mashing down the keys on the piano, misusing the piano. That doesn't mean that someone else can't come and sit down and play a pretty song. And so, "I know the plans I have for you" has a meaning in my life, or it wouldn't be written. John 3:16 has a meaning. And so when you're truth-minded, your soul can, it's like you've been reacting to those verses so long that you kind of get this, intolerance, this food intolerance or something for this verse, and you just automatically react to it in a viscerally negative way. And you find that, wait, I don't have that verse doing anything in my heart. And so it becomes a challenge to get yourself emotionally there to receive it and use it correctly. And Psalm 30 has one of those verses in it. That's why I thought of that. You'll notice it right off the bat. It's in verse 5. "His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." And maybe as soon as I read it, some of your visceral reaction even came up because you're so used to it. And so how do we get a verse like this in us in the right way and use it the right way in light of this problem? Well, one thing you know that I'm very fond of is Lord of the Rings, and also fond of is the gospel. But particularly the way Paul conveys the gospel through the two Adams schema, the two men and all men, because it just makes the gospel so plain. And so because of those two, they come together. There's been a meme that's gone around for a few years now. It's based on a scene in Lord of the Rings where Merry and Pippin are giving Aragorn trouble because he's having to pull them along. And they want to eat breakfast, and he says, "Well, we already had breakfast." And they say, "Well, what about second breakfast?" And they have in mind that there's all, you know, there's multiple breakfasts. And so someone took that and they made a meme and they shared it in "Adam all die," and then this guy Pippin saying, "Yes, but what about second Adam?" And that may give you a sense of the simple but just life-saving point of this psalm. The simple point is that there is salvation. The simple point is that we're not just living in a creation that experienced a fall. If that's all there was to our story, creation and fall, then each of our personal stories would be that once upon a time there was Orion and he got married and he had children and everything was good. And then he sinned the end, right? And everything fell apart and the clouds moved in the end. That would be it. There's no redemption. There's no rescue. There's no salvation. And a psalm like this, and really indeed all the psalms, when you read them, you just, if you were to just read them, maybe one a night, and they kind of just form, like you work out to form muscle, if they just sort of formed your soul, they just produce this sort of disposition of this posture of humility and dependence and outcry toward the Lord for help. There's just the theme of deliverance. I think one of the psalms says, "This poor man cried out to the Lord, and he delivered him from all his fears." And it's like somebody said over and over, like, that could be your autobiography. That's it. Like, tell us the story of your life. "This poor man cried out to the Lord, and he delivered him from all of his fears." And that, you could pretty much preach everything from that. And so the way to read this psalm, to get it in there, is to see that that's basically what it is. And this metaphor is that no matter how dark, God has put a metaphor of the fall and redemption in the flow of day and night. That no matter how dark it gets, it's only temporary. It's turning. It's not the end. If the God revealed in Jesus Christ is the one that created the universe and permitted the fall, this does not end negatively. It can't end that way. He would have never created it to begin with. So the way this connects to prayer is this is why we pray. We come here as real believers. We struggle to open up, but we're all in this fallen world with just the initial strivings of redemption at work in our hearts. And so our bodies are still weak. We're still experiencing the fall. Each one of us come in with something. Some care of the world, some stress, some pain, some sorrow, some amount of darkness that has the potential to weigh the heart down and put us in a position of hopelessness. And the reason we pray is to be reminded to hear each other pray, to minister to one another literally through praying. To renew your mind, to realize the tears you're crying are but for a moment, to realize the darkness you're in is temporary, to realize this feeling of anger or this feeling of distance from the Lord does not last forever. And so let me just read it and then we'll pray with the time we have left. Psalm 30, a psalm of David. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you His godly ones, and give thanks to His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Now, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. O Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.